tagged me enough to pay $3 a gallon to get over you. I'm so choked up.
That's true love.
That's true love. We got gas $3 a gallon. We still coming over here. We must be. We've had it. That's for sure. This is a group of people who've had it. They ready for a change in their life. Okay. Well, we just take 76. Paragraph 7. Sometimes you have to go right to it. First, I'm going to read it the way it's written. Then I'm going to read it the way that it's written. Okay? All right. In other words, I'm going to translate it from the Christian terminology to the Course in Miracles definition of what it means. For instance, paragraph 7 says, the voice of the Holy Spirit doesn't command because it's incapable of arrogance. So the Holy Spirit's voice doesn't demand because it doesn't seek control. The Holy Spirit's voice doesn't overcome because it doesn't attack. The Holy Spirit's voice reminds. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. So the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of love. It's the voice of truth. Now watch the difference when we read that thinking about the voice for truth. In other words, if you're dealing with a voice that loves you, he says if you're dealing with a loving mind, you can tell when you're dealing with a loving mind because a loving mind doesn't command. A loving mind isn't arrogant. A loving mind is not demanding. And a loving mind is not trying to control you. And a loving mind is not trying to overcome you. And a loving mind doesn't attack you. So the way that you can tell whether or not it's a loving person in front of you is that if they're a loving person, they're not commanding you. They're not arrogant with you. They're not demanding with you. They're not trying to control you. They're not trying to overcome you. And they're not trying to attack you. That's how you can tell you're listening to the voice for God. Any other voice is not the voice for God. Are we clear on that? Can it get clearer than that? It says it right here. If it's a voice of the Holy Spirit, you know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit because it doesn't command, it's not trying to demand, it's not trying to control, it's not trying to overcome. So I realize most of the time it hasn't been no loving people talking to me. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. And he says, now, if you're dealing with a person that's a really loving person and you're dealing with a really loving man, what it's going to be doing is going to be reminding you. So, a voice that loves you, and a person that loves you, a man is... pardon me. Those God parts are intense. I know they come from the soul level. Right. See, there we go again. All right, I'm going to turn this off for a minute, and then I'll just project more. And when I want to be dramatic, I'll try to cut it back off. Okay. Because I want to get this clear. So he says that when you listen to a man that loves you, when you listen to a man that loves you, that is reminding you, and the reason why you listen to it, the reason why it's compelling is because it's because of what it's reminding you of. And the reason why I'm going to listen to you is because of what you reminded me of. You are compelling to me because of what you are reminding me of. So a loving voice, the way it gets this message across, the way it gets you to listen to it is that it's reminding you of something that's very compelling to you. So spirit is going to tell you something that's going to compel you, but your fearful mind is going to try to command you, demand on you, control you, overcome you, and attack you. So one part of the mind is trying to get your attention through pain, and the other part of your mind is trying to get your attention because of what it reminds you of. So let's play it out. You know, it's like, why are you listening to me? I'm listening to you because of what you reminded me of. Okay? So I'll say it again. The voice of the Holy Spirit does not command. It does not demand. It's not overcoming. It's not attacking. It's not attacking. It's not trying to overcome you. It's not trying to control you. It's not arrogant. It's a voice that it's a voice that's not making demands out of you. So if you're listening to any of those kind of voices, you're not listening to God. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. It's what the Course is saying to us. Lovingly. which may not be the way I sound. So they don't have anything to do with the sincerity of God. You know?
It's very loving.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more.
Yeah. Okay. There's something that love me no matter what I think about myself. And I like that. Mm-hmm. That's a cool mind there. Okay, so I'm going to make the Course in Miracles. Let's see if we can make it even more practical. Now, the reason why you're going to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice, and the reason why the Holy Spirit's voice is compelling, is because of what it reminds you of. This, you're going to listen to my voice because I am reminding you of the other way. And the Course says that the voice for God, and you know this is true, remains quiet when you're in turmoil.
Yeah.
I don't hear nothing from God when I'm mad. It's like, where's God's voice? I don't hear God's voice. No, and it's right here in the book where you're not. So you say in the midst of your turmoil that you make, you're not going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So you're right. You're absolutely right. You don't hear God right now because you're in the middle of turmoil.
Yeah.
But I listen to the Holy Spirit because in the middle of my turmoil, it's going to be very compelling to me because of what it's reminding me of. I'm going through pain, but I'm going to start listening to God because of what God is reminding me of. I'm going to start listening to my guidance because of what my guidance is reminding me of. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then it says, now he says, now I'm going to tell you how the voice for God operates. In case you're wondering how Spirit's voice talks to you, I'm going to tell you. It's right here on the page. It says, first of all, if God is talking to you, God is quiet. Mm-hmm. And how many of y'all have to admit that God's pretty quiet to you?
Very quiet.
Okay, all right, so that means God is talking to us.
I don't get
there. Just believe it. Just believe it. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is accept that even though you can't hear, you know, you can't hear my voice, don't mean I'm not talking to you. That's what it means. You know, just because you can't hear my voice don't mean I'm not talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes in meditation, I'll just say, okay, now I'm just going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I don't hear anything, I just assume that I'm getting all the messages that I need. Is that the same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Mhm. See, no matter what your state of mind, you're always getting the answer. So no matter how many different circumstances you present me with, I'm still going to tell you, yeah, that's going to work.
Yeah.
You're going to get your answer through that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so cool about it. Once you say you want to be on the spiritual path, then from that moment forward, according to my understanding of the Course, no matter what you try to do, it's going to be used to help you go back to God. So from that moment forward, your biggest mistakes and your greatest pleasures, every one of them going to be moving you towards your home. Don't you like that?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good to me.
So I can't lose that one.
It sounds good. It sounds good. Makes me feel good. Might have some truth to it. Just might. Unless I'm going to try to break it to pieces. You know, let me see if I can break that good thought to pieces now. I love to break thoughts into pieces. Come on, let's do it. Let's analyze it now. Let's break it into little bitty meaningless parts. Okay, that's what this book said to me. You know, 25 years of being assessed in this book, and three girlfriends later.
Come on, Judy, let's tell you.
Some people have extremely intense karma. You stick around with them for a long time giving them that lesson.
Yeah.
You'd be with them a long time. They'd be with you a long time. Because y'all just committed to giving to each other the lesson in love that y'all were meant to give each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, fortunately, those three relationships were just incredible and powerful and off the hook. Mm-hmm. And they got a tap of regret about them. You know, there are a whole lot of people love me, but the ones that do, they put up with a lot. Because they, you know, they decide, they let me be.
Yeah.
Because they know that's the only way they're going to keep their sanity. When the irresistible force meets an immovable object, you know, there's nothing you can do but accept. So, So let's go back to what this paragraph is saying. Because the Course in Miracles is an absolute trip. It first it told us that if you really listen to the voice for God, what doesn't it do? Does it command you?
No.
Does it demand? Does it seek control? No. He says, is this a voice telling you you're a low down dog?
No.
No, so it's not going to be that voice. Somebody probably low down dog, probably ain't God. Okay, just in case you be wondering when that voice is talking to you. You know. Oh, that's right. Okay. So he says, so while you tripping, then the Holy Spirit is going to get your attention by reminding you of something that's so compelling that you'll listen to it in the midst of your turmoil. Okay? Which is what's happening right now, by the way. This is what's happening at this very moment. Mm-hmm. Right in the midst of your turmoil, then there's this voice that's reminding you of your peace. That's me sitting up here, and whatever you're going through, whatever I'm going through, I'm reminding you. So we actually have, that's what I love about the Course in Miracles. You have an experience of what it's saying while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to wonder if it's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a voice. It's coming through this black body, but there's a voice up here. You know, some people like dog meat. You know.
No,
that too.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he says, what I'm going to do is, while you're going through this conflict, I'm going to remind you of the other way. You know, oh, I get it now. The Holy Spirit's going to remind us of the other way by keeping quiet, because keeping quiet is the other way. So the Holy Spirit is giving us an example of what we should do. Shut up. Be quiet. And He's given Spirit, and God is giving us that example by giving us an example of being quiet in the midst of our turmoil to show us that that's the answer.
Wow.
So we really are getting God's answer right now. See, we don't hear God, right? God's quiet. What is it? That's the answer. Be quiet in the midst of your turmoil.
That's hard.
Yeah.
But I'm working on it.
It's okay. I'm just sharing y'all a little message. I'm the little postman for tonight. You know, I don't have no attachment to have you receiving it. You can receive it the way you want to. You know, I tell you though, it is easier for me to be quiet in the middle of my turmoil than it is for me to talk now. That's all I can tell you. It's easier for me to just shut up, just be quiet in the middle of my turmoil, than for me to talk about it.
So you learned that lesson.
Yeah, because if you talk about it to the wrong people, it makes it real. Because mm-hmm. if you talk about it to the wrong people, they're going to believe that that's what you are. Mm-hmm. And they're going to forget who you your spiritual identity. And long after you've been healed, they'll be still asking you what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You know, you fine. Oh, you still feel the way you did last year, darling? You know, so he won't never let you forget. You know, I love it. So I'm quiet in the midst of my turmoil. And there's a voice that's reminding me to be quiet in the midst of my turmoil. And it's becoming very compelling to me. This idea of me being peaceful in the midst of my turmoil is becoming compelling to me. So all of a sudden, you know, my peace isn't something I used to dream about. My peace is something I'm really after. Okay? Okay, so then it says, and I love this, you can read what I've written me, you see I'm reading right out this book. It says, the voice for God is always quiet, because the quiet voice is the voice that's speaking of peace. Peace is stronger than war, because peace heals, and anything that heals is stronger than the conflict. War, which is conflict, is division, not increase. When you're in conflict, you're dividing yourself. When you're in conflict, you are dividing yourself. You're not increasing yourself. You are dividing yourself in smaller and smaller pieces. In conflict, it says right here, war is division. The Course says war is conflict. So conflict is division. So when you say, I'm in conflict, you just as easy could say, I am in division today. I'm deeply divided. That would be a more honest statement. So, aren't you bored with saying conflict? Wouldn't just saying deeply divided be cooler? Conflict is so well out. What's wrong with you? I'm in conflict. And, you know, suppose you said to a person, what's wrong with you? They say, I'm deeply divided. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a healing happens. You laugh immediately. And then you're healed. And you're healed. It's a great plan. I'm just remembering not to laugh.
You can ask people that. Are you deeply divided?
Are you in deep division?
Yes.
Me too. You know. But you can, but when you say that, you can feel yourself breaking down. But if you say not increase, so you say, so instead of saying that you're deeply divided, you could also say, how are you feeling today? Well, I am not increasing. I can tell you that, baby. I am in conflict about my mate. You know what I'm saying? I am absolutely not increasing with my mate. There's no increasing going on nowhere around here. I love that Course in Miracles give you these incredible definitions of things. If we just stop trying to make up our own definition for what the Course says and drive ourselves crazy, because the Course don't fit into your way of thinking. So, but it, you know, so it says peace is stronger than war because it heals. War is division, not increase. No one gains from strife. What profited a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? What profited is to you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And I tell you how you lose sight of your soul. You lose sight of your soul by not listening to the right voice. You lose sight of your soul if you listen to the wrong voice. You lose sight of your soul. So if I'm listening to the wrong voice, I'm losing sight of my soul. I don't see my soul anymore. And that's true. I don't see my soul anymore. And he says it right there. He says, if you listen to the wrong voice, you lose sight of your soul. Now, let me tell you, now, you cannot lose your soul. I mean, everybody in here got soul. I mean, we're the James Brown of the spiritual universe. We got soul. Y'all hear me? He says, you can't lose your soul. What's happening is that you just don't know your soul. You still got your soul, but you just don't know it. And you lost sight of your soul. This book is deep. This book says you lost sight of your soul, but you still have your soul, but you lost sight of your soul and you don't know your soul because you're listening to the wrong voice. And whenever you listen to the wrong voice, you lose sight of your soul. And how is it profiting you to gain the whole world if you're losing your own soul?
I don't know. Because it's still there. You're still innocent. God still loves you.
But you lose sight of that when you're listening to the wrong voice. Right now you're listening to the right voice, so it sounds very obvious to you, and so you can say it right back to me. Now, can you say it when that fool cuts you off in traffic? Mm-hmm. Now, that's when you know you got it. Because then you'll be back in your own mind, and you'll be losing sight of your soul, and you think you're just this upset driver. Because you lost sight of your soul, because you listened to the wrong voice. You listen to the voice, and it's telling you you're just a human being.
So every time you're listening to the wrong mind, you've lost sight of your soul.
You lost, right? and when you feel like you were lost, that's when you know you've lost sight of your soul. And so you can say, well, you know, right now, in the area of my love life, I'm listening to the wrong voice. And you know what? In the area of my finances, I'm listening to the wrong voice. You know, in the area of my body, I'm listening to the wrong voice. See, that's what he's saying. You know, when you lose sight of your happiness, you just should tell yourself right then, I'm listening to the wrong voice. I don't care what it's saying. It don't even matter what it's saying if I've lost sight of my happiness. So I used to analyze what it was saying. But I don't even make no... That's pitiful. That's just a needless expenditure of energy. I've lost sight of my peace. That's all I need to know. So I'm in conflict. And so Spirit's going to be quiet to give me an example of what being quiet means, which is to be quiet. Okay. And then he says, when you are in this state of being quiet, you are in a state of healing, because the conflict is division, not increase. And you're not going to gain anything from going through all this strife. What profited you to gain a whole blasted world if you lose your soul? And every time you listen to the voice that's upsetting you, you are losing sight of your soul. But don't worry about it, because you can't lose your soul. You just lost sight of your soul, but you still have a soul. And your soul is smoking.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Okay, you gotta. I mean, your soul is off the hook. Do you hear me?
Right.
Your soul is cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have a whole lot of soul. You just lost sight of it because you listened to the voice that's telling you that you're something less than divine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing. This book is too awesome. Reading the course is a trip. Analyzing it ain't no fun. He says, so your soul is therefore lost to you. And then the course tells you how long your soul is lost to you. I tell you how long your happiness is lost to you. How long? Until you start choosing right.
Yeah.
As long as you keep doing the same thing that's not working, then that's how long you're going to keep going through it. He said, so if you want it to be over, you need to start choosing right.
Yeah.
And how do you know when you're choosing right? Well, if you're choosing right, you listen to a voice that's not commanding you. You listen to a voice that's not arrogant. You listen to a voice that's not demanding, trying to control you, trying to overcome you. It's not attacking you. You're just listening to a voice that's compelling because it's reminding you of the peace that you used to have before you start listening to the wrong voice. I'm going to remind you of how cool you felt before you start listening to the wrong voice. That's my job in your life. That's your job in my life. It's just always remind you how cool you were before you started to divide yourself and not increase.
So that sounds like what you said either last week or before about like something to this effect, remembering what I was.
Yeah, the way that you heal is to remember. Yeah, he says the way that you heal is to remember what you were, remember your true state before there was a need for healing, and then think about the way you're going to be after you have the healing. He calls that an alteration of the time sequence, because it's using time different from the way we used to using time. So if you're upset about something, then I got to remember the way you were before you got upset, and remember the way you're going to be after you get the whole thing corrected, and then that's healing you. And that's healing me. That's an alteration of the time sequence. All right. Paragraph 8. The Holy Spirit is your guide in choosing. I love that. It says, I'm going to tell you what your Holy Spirit is. When you say, I want to give it to the Holy Spirit, you're saying, my guide in choosing. I call on my guide in choosing. I call on my guide in choosing. That's, I call on the Holy Spirit means I call on my guide. I need a guide in making my choices. I call on my choice guide. I call on my choice guide. I need you to help me make the right choice. It says, so whenever you call on the Holy Spirit, you're just calling on the part of you that you that's going to help you make your choice. That's not the way this book talks. That is the Holy Spirit to me. The Holy Spirit actually would be my guide in choosing. Now, he says, so the Holy Spirit, which is your guide in choosing, is in the part of your mind that's always speaking for the right choice. So your guide in choosing is in the part of your mind that's always making the right choice, and you have a part of your mind that always makes the right choice. And so your guide comes from a part of your mind that knows how to make the right choice. So when you call on your guide, you say, I'm calling on the part of my mind that knows the right choice. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Okay? Then he says, because the part of your mind that speaks for the right choice is always going to be the part of your mind that speaks for God. So whatever part of your mind is speaking for the Creator, it's the part of your mind that's always giving you the right choice. So when you turn to your Creator, you always make the right choice. So the Course says, the Holy Spirit, when you call on the Holy Spirit, you're saying, I call upon my remaining communication with God. I am calling on my remaining communication with love. I am calling on my remaining I'm calling on my last remaining communication with God. This is my last quarter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He said the Holy Spirit is my last link to what I really want.
Yeah.
Whoa. Then he says, you can interrupt the communication between you and your Creator, but you cannot destroy the communication between you and your Creator. So right now, you're just experiencing a little technical difficulty. A little disruption of communication, but you cannot break the communication. So all of us are still totally in communication with our source. All of us are totally in communication with God right now. We're just having a small pause for the calls. Okay, we are interrupting right now. But we can't break it, but we can interrupt it. Okay, I'm just reading out the book. Then he says, then he gives us another definition of the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit is the way in which God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to call on the way that God's will is done right here, just like it's done in reality. I want to, whatever way I can get love to get right here, the way it really gets in reality, that's what I want. I want the way for the answer to get here now. That's calling on the Holy Spirit. I want a way for everything I want to get to me right now. That's what I want. And because of that, you know, I'm calling on the way in which God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, heaven and earth are both in you. Heaven is in you and earth is in you. Love is in you and fear is in you. Peace is in you and conflict is in you. And he says, then he goes on to say, where the heck am I? Okay.
Five.
Well, you know, it's like sometimes my own mind don't want to hear what I got to say.
Yeah.
And so it just all of a sudden just jip me off in somewhere else. And I'll be like, what? Where am I? You know, it's all embarrassing because you're supposed to have your act together as a teacher. Okay. So, I went to an astrologer today, and an astrologer told me that I wasn't thinking big enough. So I was trying to make myself feel good away from my home, and that my home was greatness, and that's where I would really feel like I was in my natural environment.
Wow, that's for sure. We know that.
That's deep.
That's very deep, girl.
All that because my Chiron is conjunct my sun. Well, I didn't even know I had a Chiron conjunct my sun today, but it explains my relationship with my daddy.
There you go.
Tell you that. I've been trying to wonder where it came from. Chiron conjunct my sun. That's where it came from. I know the reason why I'm where I am today now. You know what I'm saying? I love this book. I love this. It's so funny. So he says, now, how many of y'all are with me in the idea that you want the way in which God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven?
Okay.
All right. And then it says, both heaven and earth are in you. You know why? Because you are calling for both of them in your mind. So if you're calling for something, you must already have it in you to call for it. Because you wouldn't have nothing to call for it from unless it was already in you. So the truth is, heaven and earth are in you because you're calling for it, both of them in your mind. You're calling for love, you're calling for fear. You're calling for love, you're calling for fear. You're calling for peace. He said, so both of them must be in your mind. He said, but the voice for God comes from your own altars to God. And I love the Course in Miracles says, but I'm going to tell you something. An altar is not a thing. An altar is a devotion. So when you say you're going to bow down before your altar, you're saying, I am bowing down to what I am devoted to. That's your altar. Your altar is whatever you're devoted to. He says, so your divided devotion, I love this. He said, you have other devotions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're not devoted to the voice for truth. You have other devotions. You're not devoted to the voice that loves you. You're devoted to other voices. That's what the book is saying right here. He says, because your devotion is not a thing. You know, your devotion is your altar. Then it says your divided devotion is giving you two voices. So people like say, well, where do these two opposite voices come from? These two opposite voices in your mind come from your own divided devotion. Your divided devotion to your own happiness is giving you two voices to listen to.
Is there a difference then between devotion to your altar and serving an idol?
Devotion to your altar and serving an idol depends on what you're devoted to.
I didn't want to use the word devotion related to an idol.
Well, that's what the book is trying to get us to see is that whatever we are worshiping, that's our devotion, that's our idol. So most people are worshiping, you know, whatever it is you think about all the time, whatever is your hit on the hit parade is your number one thought, your number one thing to think about,
That is your number one devotion. That is your altar. Your altar is everything you think about all day is your altar. That is what you are devoted to. It's what you're telling yourself all the time. That's your altar. You see what I'm saying? And so the Course says, and he says, and because you have a divided devotion, which means, you know, part of me want me to have what I deserve and part of me don't believe I deserve it. He says that gave me two voices. One voice speaks for what I don't deserve, and the other voice speaks for what I do deserve because I have a divided devotion. He says, now, this is the real deal, y'all. He says, you must choose at which altar you want to serve. You got to choose at which devotion you want to serve. You got to make your decision about which one of your devotions you want to be devoted to. Do you want to be devoted to the voice that makes you doubt? Or do you want to be devoted to the voice that makes you certain? Do you want to be devoted to the voice that, you know, that makes you laugh? Or do you want to be devoted to the voice that makes you laugh? That's what the book is saying. You know, so we got divided devotions, so now we need to make a choice about what we're going to be devoted to. Okay? All right? And then he says, now, you can tell which one you're choosing because the call you answer right now is an evaluation, because the call you answer right now is very much a decision. The decision is very simple. The decision for what you're going to be devoted to is made on the basis of which one of the calls is worth more to you. See, I'm going to make my decision on which one of those voices I'm going to listen to based on which one of those voices is worth the most to me. Which one of these voices do I believe in the most? That's the voice that I'm going to listen to. That's, he said, the decision is very simple. It's made on the basis of which voice is worth more to me now. The voice that makes me feel peace, or the thought that makes me feel peace, or the thoughts that upset me all the time. That's what Course in Miracles is saying. And you know, you're going to answer whichever one of the voices that you believe in the most. You're going to listen to the part of your mind that you believe in the most. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, and so the Course is saying, if you want to now get out of the divided devotion, then it means you're going to have to decide to be devoted to something other than what you used to be devoted to. But you're going to only choose the one that's worth the most to you. You may know the choice, but you're still going to go for the one that's worth the most to you. Yeah. Like, that's what we do. We listen to the two choices sitting up here, and then we leave out and we go with the choice that was worth the most to us, which means some of us go right back into our old way of thinking, and then some of us choose this new way. And then they don't have a divided devotion no more. And so that for you, there's no more two choices, two voices. You're not in conflict anymore because you know all you want is love. You know all you want is love. So you don't have no more choices. So whenever I leave a situation where I hear the truth, I either make the decision for the voice that's going to keep me in peace, or I just decide to listen to the voice that keeps me in the conflict a while longer. But while I'm in conflict, God is talking to me by being quiet in the midst of my turmoil so that he can remind me of the way I need to be quiet in the midst of my turmoil. Woo-wee. Boy, this is something else. Is this something else in y'all?
Something else.
I'm telling you, it's a trip, isn't it? Oh, man.
Be quiet in my turmoil.
But God is. And that's all that matters. That's what's so cool about it. And then we think God not being quiet is God not answering us. So we walking around expecting God to be talking to us the way we always talking to us. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize that God's voice is quiet. Because it's reminding you of the way you were before you got upset. So that you will never forget it. So you can always come back to it. Somebody you've got to stay peaceful for you to have something peaceful to come back to.
So it's got to be
a part of you that just does not get relevant to your folly. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's you start tapping into this part of you that is just watching you do this crazy stuff. And it doesn't judge it. It's just watching it. It's a trip, and it's so peaceful. I'm excited for everybody in this room. Because the saner you become, the more I'll enjoy you. Don't you think that's true? That the saner people become, the more you would enjoy us? I think that's a good thought. I think that's a great thought.
So how come we're having so much fun now?
Because we have insane thoughts right now. Right now, we're listening to the right voice. That's how you can tell. That's why we're sitting up here so cooled out. It's no accident. It's the thoughts we're giving ourselves right now that's making us feel the way we do. Wow. I can feel you all like rays of light shooting through me, crisscrossing throughout the room. You're like a grid of love. That's what you feel like to me. You know what I'm saying? When I'm up here teaching this class, it's like, ooh, 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 ooh. That's why I have to be cool, you know. You know. Ooh. I know people so cool that either I have really changed or they're the poor judge of character. Okay. Yeah, so they cool. They some cool folk. And tell truth, I haven't changed that much. You know. I just learned how to love the way I already am. I gave up on changing Earl. I tried, y'all. I gave it a good shot. I got a lot of advice, too. People was always telling me, you just need to do this. That's what it is. I know what you need to do, you know. Help me change. Help me. You know what I'm saying? The Course says, well, if you are always changing, how is there going to be anything stable about you to know? Look at that book. I know I could just read that. If I'm always changing, how can there be something stable about me to know? So there's got to be a part of me that's stable if I'm going to change into it.
But if I'm miserable, and I don't want to be miserable anymore, I have to change.
No, you just have to remember.
I have to remember who I really am. I'm sorry. And remember that I'm innocent? I should
just shut up. No. Aha! Aha! Remember I said that was the answer in the first place. Didn't it? It works. I'm telling you, it works. Everything else. People think I'm so smart because of what I don't say. I'm telling you. You're such a good listener. You know, I tell you, people think you're a genius if you don't say nothing. Okay. When you start talking, that you blow the whole illusion. You know, they give you the benefit of the doubt when they see you. You know? Okay. Have you ever been turned on by somebody until they start talking? I mean, you just be really moved, you know, and then they start talking and you call. I know we're number one in the Nielsen ratings for God. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're watching us on Thursday night. You know, so turn them to the people on earth. Oh, man, check them out. Check them out. Okay. I'm telling you, the people on earth are trip. They are. They really are. I'm telling you, the aliens are not abducting people, they're dropping them off. That's why I saw saw one other night. That's where you think your last mate came from. You're talking about you really had a relationship with somebody from out of town. Y'all know none of us are from here. You know that. You know that. You know that. All of us trying to get back home. So that was that paragraph. So, any questions about these two paragraphs? Do you know about these different definitions of the Holy Spirit? And other than saying Holy Spirit, you know, saying, I call on the way in which God's will is done in heaven.
So never would have, should have, could have be the Holy Spirit, would it?
The Holy Spirit wouldn't command, wouldn't demand, wouldn't control, wouldn't try to overcome, wouldn't try to attack. It would be compelling because of what it reminds you of. And it would be reminding you of the other way. And because it's reminding you of the way that's opposite to the way you feel in your turmoil, it's going to become more and more compelling to you as your peace becomes more and more valuable.
Yeah.
And I've been meeting a lot of people lately where their peace is more important than any form of the relationship that they have with me. So we go, okay, we want to have peace with each other. And what we want to do is we want to have the form of our relationship be defined by our desire to have peace. So we just going to not try to define our relationship. We're just going to keep focusing on peace, and then we'll adjust our relationship at all times to the way that's going to give us the most peace with each other.
Wow.
Then the purpose becomes more important than the form.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where it happens. And that's when it gets cool.
Yeah.
If I want to have a relationship with Bonnie, I can always have a relationship with Bonnie, but I might need to change the way that me and Bonnie relate to each other to maintain the relationship. So if I really want the relationship, I'll make whatever adjustments necessary to keep us in a peaceful place with each other. Which means all I have to do is listen to what she says, and as much as I possibly can, respect her boundaries. That's all I have to do. And she and I will always be cool. 30 years from now, you'd be sitting here about me and Bonnie cool.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
But if I want to control her, if I want to overcome her, if I want to command her, then I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to constantly change the form of the relationship so we can stay in a relationship, because I got a certain way I want it to be. And I'm not going to compromise on that. Even if you don't want it, I do.
And you know I got a way out.
And you're going to sacrifice to me, Bonnie. And you're going to do what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you love me.
Mm-hmm. And I do.
And since you do, and you want to be a good partner, you're going to make your sacrifice, build up your resentment, and then I hit a hatchet in my head. It's just that I know that it's a poison drink. I know it. I really like, what makes me peaceful with people is I know they all have murderous thoughts. That's what keeps me at peace with all y'all. I know all y'all got murderous thoughts. And I respect y'all because I know y'all might kill me. You know? Because everyone in here got a trigger that if somebody push that trigger, they kill them.
Wow.
And everybody there has one. The killer trigger.
Wow.
Yeah, we all know that.
Yes.
If we're honest with each other, we all know that. We all know, we just hope we don't never meet the trigger.
Exactly.
That's all I hope, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to meet the trigger. So he said, the trigger is your divided devotion. Once you devote it to really loving yourself, then there won't be no other choice. And so you won't be experiencing the pain that comes from the wrong choice. Because you finally made a simple decision. But this decision is only going to be as valuable to you as your peace is valuable to you. If your peace isn't valuable, more valuable to you than your conflict, then you're going to walk out the door and make the decision to be in conflict again, and that's your altar. That's what you worship in that. That's what you're devoted to. So you need to reach out and say, I want the way to have God's will be done for me right now. I want the way for the love to be done right now. I want the way for the peace to be done right now. That's, I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. I need somebody to guide me in how I'm going to make my choices today.
Are there people that are happy with the other way?
No, because they was happy they'd be doing the right way. See, that's what I love about this, is that you can't do it the wrong way and get the right result. Okay, so that's what's cool, because that's what drives us crazy. Because then we think every way works.
Because I know people that seem like they like conflict. Only if there's no conflict, they just bored out.
Well, that's what I'm saying, then they're not really in conflict. Check it out. They're not really, they're enjoying the conflict, so they're not really in conflict. They're just pretending like they're in conflict. You can tell when a person pretending like they're in conflict because they stay in it. A person in real conflict, they are actually going to want the peace and the answer. Because there's so much conflict, they're going to want the answer, and they're going to do it. A person that's pretending they're in conflict just stays in conflict and the answer never comes. Because they love their conflict. Because the Course says, because they think being in conflict is the answer to being in conflict. They believe that the answer is to feel bad all the time, and if you feel bad long enough, the problem's going to be solved. So the Course says they made a decision like everybody else about how they're going to solve their problem. They're going to solve their problem by always feeling bad about it all the time. And by feeling bad about it all the time, the problem's going to go away. And that's the solution that the miserable people all the time have come up with.
It's a good way to control people, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
Everybody in conflict.
Well, and just check that out. Well, just check this out. That's what he's saying. If it's not the voice for the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a voice that's trying to overcome, trying to attack, trying to manipulate. He's letting us know how to tell when we're with a mind that's trying to take advantage of us. So you know when you're listening to someone that's deceiving you. You know what a person that deceives you, you'll know what they say. And you'll know how they act. And you'll know what they look like. So when a person that's going to deceive you walks up, you won't be deceived. Because you recognize that they are deceivers. Now, you don't shoot them. You don't attack them. You don't smack them. You just don't accept them as being representative of the truth for you. You know what I'm saying? That's all I had to do. I just want to know when I'm about to fool myself. That's it. That's all I need to know. I just need to know you. I know I'm about to fool myself about you. That's not an attack on you. That's not trying to overcome you. That's not trying to control you. That's not trying to do anything to you. I just recognize the consequence of joining with you before I do it, so that I won't do it. And the Course calls that vision. Vision is knowing the result of what you're going to do before you do it. The Course says,
save yourself a lot of pain.
Yeah, you can save yourself a whole lot. You don't say, oh, okay, I already see. Okie dokie, if I do that, whoa, all right, I'll take no thank you. I appreciate this opportunity, but I think I'll pass this time. You know, this vision. You know, if I'm getting ready to make a choice toward anything that's attacking me, that's trying to overcome me, that's trying to control me, then I'm listening to the wrong voice. And he says, then I lose sight of my soul. But it doesn't mean I don't still have my soul. I just don't know my soul.
Yeah.
So if I want to get back to my soul, all I have to do is start listening to the part of me that is quiet and wants me to have peace so that I can get rid of my divided devotion, which is producing the problem to begin with, as I'm not completely devoted to myself.
Yeah.
All your problems come out of not being completely devoted to yourself. You have a divided devotion. You're kind of devoted to yourself, and you're not kind of devoted to yourself. So that presents you with two choices all day. One is going to cause you some problems, and the other is going to bring you some cool stuff. So what you have to do is realize that you're going to only listen to the voice that's the most important to you. And so whatever you are experiencing right now is letting you know what choice is most valuable to you. You're not bad. You're just seeing what you value. That's what it said to me.
And when you don't see yourself as innocent, then you're going to lean towards listening to the voice that's...
Absolutely. Like that's that. That is the way you listen to the voice that lies to you, is to make yourself feel as guilty as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it enhances that punishment.
Yeah.
It solidifies the punishment.
Yeah. Oh,
so
the Course says the guilt is the request for punishment. And when I read that, I went, whoa, wait a minute, hold it. Don't tell me that my guilt is a request for punishment. He said, yeah, that's what it is. You feel guilty, you want to be punished. Mm-hmm. So he says, every time you feel guilty, you're saying to the universe, Punish me, 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 I feel, punish me about this, punish me about that, punish me about this, punish me about that, and punish me about that over there, and punish me about that over there, and punish me, I feel guilty about this, and I feel guilty about that, and I feel guilty about this, and I feel bad about that, punish me about this, punish me about this, punish me about this, punish me. Do you realize how many times a day we said, punish me?
I do.
And then the punishment comes and we say, you did it. It's your fault. Because it's too crazy to think I'm calling punishment to myself.
Yeah. And I was raised in a religion based on original sin. Mm-hmm. And that demanding, controlling, that was God.
That's right. That's right. And that's why people are so afraid to change their perception of God.
Well, then the other thing is that we punish ourselves so much, then we reach for those worldly goods to reward ourselves in order to counteract the punishment. And that whole duality is just doesn't work. Either side of it.
No, it keeps being an opportunity for us now to make the choice to listen to the voice that is devoted to us.
Yes.
Peaceful.
Yeah.
Peaceful.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you all for sharing with me. I do the course for a living, and I try to do it without asking for a definite amount of money so it's not to limit what I receive. And at the same time, not limit anybody else in being able to come regardless of their financial situation. So I really appreciate it when you share money with me. Thank you. The church thanks you too. It's sobering, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next class is going to be 1 o'clock on Sunday.
I think you used a key phrase when you said you make the choice that holds the most value for you.
Wouldn't that cool?
Means the most to you. And then for me it becomes, okay, not trying to use the analysis, but making that choice, where are my rewards?
That quietness, you become the quietness in the peace of the in the middle of the turmoil.
Yes.
That's the reward. The reward is that, guess what? You're not getting upset all day long about everything that everybody else is getting upset about. Guess what? You're feeling peace most of the day, all the time, no matter what seems to be going on around you.
But just like this lady over here just mentioned about the accumulation of material things, to kind of fill that emptiness, that void, or that inside, that becomes important, even though you could just remain quiet.
Well, that's the idol you're devoted to.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's your idol. Your idol is whatever it is you focus on other than the truth.
Yes.
Your idol is anything you focus on other than asking your guide and choosing to step in and help you out of this situation. You know, your idol can be your own addiction to paying attention to just the voice you made up without even asking the Creator to give you another way of looking at it. That's my, you know, my biggest idol is my own voice.
Oh,
I'm totally devoted to the voice I made up in my head that's telling me what to do all day. And then telling me what y'all doing too. That voice don't just make up an ego for me, it make up an ego for everybody I know. Don't you do it?
Uh-huh.
And so you know the ego couldn't be real because you can change your mind about somebody by yourself without them even being there.
Yeah.
So you know the way you think about them is made up in your mind. Because you can change the way you see them just by thinking about them. That's how you know the ego isn't real.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of ego you're making for me, but the Course is trying to teach you the kind of ego to make for me. That's it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like trying to say, well, see this person as innocent, and see this person as good, and see this person as light, and see this person as a car. What the Course is doing is giving us a new ego, because it knows we're going to make up an ego. We're going to make up our opinion about everything we think we see. So it's trying to give us some opinions to make that won't limit us, that won't block us, even though we don't believe it.
Wow.
That's so smart. It's so smart. We're so blessed, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
We have looked up and got onto something around here.
Honey, we need the basket.
See how compelling her voice was because of what it reminded me of. Notice how you just saw the truth work. In the midst of all that that was going on, I heard that voice. Go get the basket, pass the basket around. See, that was compelling because of what it reminded me of. That's what the book is saying. If you want to get a person to listen to you, be saying something they really want to hear.
But now, wait a minute. Look how quiet she's been. And suddenly she
I see a big smile on her face, too. You know what I'm saying? But now, this is really a trip. The course flips it on you at one point and teaches you how you are quiet even when you're saying something. Because what you are saying is so meaningless.
That's right.
And I went, woo! Well, you're not saying nothing even when you're saying stuff. You know? And I went, wow, that's deep. People saying stuff to me that really doesn't mean anything all day long.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm saying? People saying stuff to you that don't mean anything to you all day long.
Yep.
That's deep. Show you how patient you are. You ought to just be so proud of yourself. You know? You ought to be patient listening to stuff that don't mean anything all day long and not go off. You know, you have to be strong. You have to be strong. Okay, so I'm gonna take one minute to bring the plane in for a landing. When you're listening to a voice that loves you, that voice is not commanding you, that voice is not going off on you. It's not trying to attack you, it's not trying to overcome you, but you're going to listen to it because of the cool stuff that it's reminding you of. And this voice is going to be really quiet in the midst of all this stuff that you think you're going through right now. And this voice is going to always be telling you to be cool, be peaceful, be peaceful. It's okay, be peaceful, be peaceful, be peaceful. Because you don't want to lose sight of your soul through this. You don't want to lose sight of your soul through this. You want to ask for the part of your mind that always speaks for the right choice to speak for you. I want the part of my mind that always speaks for the right choice to speak for me. You can interrupt your communication with your guidance, but you cannot destroy it. You can interrupt your communication with God, but you cannot destroy it. The love and the peace are both inside of you. And the stronger you hear this voice, it's going to come from your devotion to this voice because that's your altar. But right now you have other devotions. Right now you have other altars. And because you're divided in your devotion to yourself, you have two voices and you got to decide which one of those voices you're going to be the most dedicated to. And the decision is very simple. You're going to make your choice on the basis of which voice is worth more to you, the one that keeps you afraid or the one that lets go of your fear and gets rid of it. So right now for this group, I call on the Holy Spirit. I call on the way that God's will be worked, happiness will be worked here just like it is in reality. I ask for the way for us to have our safety, our peace and our abundance and our love be real right now in this moment. We ask for a guide in choosing. So be it. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Earl.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Daily words for October.
Okay.
You like one? Just raise your hand. And we got a big print too in case you have some of those days like I do.
Do y'all like going through it like we're going through it? You know, I love that. I love taking these sentences and just hearing what they're saying. So, wow, thank you. I'm so glad there's some other people who just want to hear it, like just hear it. Because that was so cool. Because I know where the two voices coming from now.
Oh,
You know, and now I really know. It's just me not being devoted to myself is giving myself two different choices for what I could experience every day. Wow.
And when
we
do it by ourselves, you don't get it.
So we're on the way. We're getting it. So may the course be with y'all.
May the course
be with y'all. I'll see you next time.